Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
This is the Primal Podcast. At Primal, hunting is more than just a hobby. It's a way of life. And whether you're an expert or just getting started, Primal can help make you a better hunter. Now, here's your host, Mike Avery.
Thank you once again for joining me on this edition of the Primal Podcast, a presentation of the good folks from Primal Outdoors. Primal Outdoors, this company that is making such a name for itself in the outdoor industry with their stands and their ground blinds and their accessories and new exciting products coming out as well. I've had the privilege of working with Primal for the past several years, and also the folks who work with Primal, the folks inside of the company and out. And this time, I get a chance to talk with a good friend of mine. His name is Bill Hahn, and he's with Jay's Sporting Goods. Now, Jay's Sporting Goods is one of the biggest independent, family-owned outdoor retailers in the country, certainly the biggest here in Michigan. Bill Hahn is their hunting department buyer. He's the guy who decides what products go on the shelves, what hunting-related products go on the shelves at Jay's. And I think it's a pretty cool job, and I think he's a pretty cool guy. Bill Hahn, welcome to this edition of the Primal Podcast.
Mike, you are so good for my ego. I love coming on here, if nothing else, for the introduction. I'm enamored with gratitude for your praise.
Well, yeah, it is certainly my pleasure. But think about this, Bill. When you were a kid growing up, did you ever dream that you'd be able to make a living doing something in an area that you love so much?
Not a clue. I did not know the path God would have for me. But I'm so grateful to be along for the ride and just to be part of a company that sells fun for a living and a place that you work and you feel like part of a family. It's such a unique, special place. It's hard to describe unless you kind of know the people and you've been a customer. Or it's hard to put into words and make it tangible and palatable, but there's an energy here and a love for what we do that is I have not found elsewhere.
Selling fun for a living. I love that. That is, it's what you guys do there at Jay's. In some regard, that's what I do through my activities on the radio and social media and such. And it's what the folks at Primal do as well. We're selling fun, and we are encouraging people to get involved in this history and tradition of this outdoor lifestyle and hunting that means so much to so many of us.
It does. You know, the neat thing about hunting and fishing in the outdoors, it's the great equalizer. You can be sharing a campfire, sharing a deer camp, sharing a fish camp with guys from all different walks of life, but the passion that brought you to that place at that time puts you all on a level plane, and sharing stories, sharing trophies, sharing, that big one that you got and the big one that got away. It's just everybody's on the same page, and it's just that common brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever it is. It's special. It's just special, and that's what we try to just do and share with people, and it's infectious and it's fun.
You talk about outdoor adventures. You've had your share in the position you're at Jay's. You've had a chance to do some pretty cool things, haven't you?
I've been pretty fortunate, yes. In the last couple of years, it seems like even more so, there's just been opportunities that have come, and I've gotten to go and do some trips over the years, some different hunting trips and even some fishing trips that I would not probably have ordinarily gotten a chance to do had I not been involved in the industry.
What stands out? What have you really enjoyed? What are the special adventures?
Oh, boy. Well, I shot a bull elk with my bow in 2011 on 9/11/2011, 10 years after the anniversary of Twin Towers. And after being in the mountains of Colorado for 5 days and hiking and bugling and having one come in and being able to take him with my bow, that will stand out just as always as a huge pinnacle of my outdoors hunting adventures. You know, that one sticks out. In recent years, I've gotten to go down to Texas a couple different times. I shot an Audad, nice mule deer, and this last year I got to shoot a couple exotics down there, which was just a hoot, just fun to see. Texas is such a cool place. I mean, it's like it's its own adventure place in and of itself right here in the U.S. You know, it's a really unique topography, environment, climate. There's lots of cool critters there.
And a lot of cool people, too.
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes it. You know, you go down there for the hunting trip, but it's the fellowship and the brotherhood and the stories and the camaraderie that really makes it. That's the glue that's what you take away from are the stories.
I want to go back to your elk hunt. I mean, I think for a lot of hunters, you know, a big bull elk, a big bull moose, I mean, that's the pinnacle. That's the holy grail right there. Tell me more about that hunt, because I've been on a few Western elk hunts. I've never been able to take an animal. I've been behind the camera sometimes, behind the bow sometimes. But man, that's a lot of work. You're at altitude. It's not an easy hunt at all, is it?
You know, it isn't. And that can be very relative to the state you're in and where you're at in those states and the time of year. Because you go out early in bow season, typically the elk are higher elevation. You get into, you know, rifle season, maybe end of October. They're starting to come down a little bit out of that higher altitude. Snow's pushing them down. So there's a lot within elk hunting. There's a lot of different dynamics there. Early season, they're more susceptible to being called in, you know, with bugle and elk and cow call. And then later season, you know, if you got a big herd bull and he's got his cows, he's not going to want to fight and leave them. He's just want to, you know, stay with them. So there's a lot of dynamics to that. But on that particular hunt, I had gone two times before on do-it-yourself hunts, rifle hunts, and was unsuccessful both times. We just didn't know where to go. We were just kind of fumbling when we got out there. We had a good plan and systematically worked this valley and worked these areas, but just the elk were already gone and we didn't know it. So this last time I had gone, it was a guided hunt. It was one that I had gotten through the industry here. It was at a show and it was an award given, basically luck of the draw for the biggest order placed in. You got so many entries to win this hunt. And Jeff Poet graciously said, yeah, you put the order in, you get to go.
Oh, nice.
And I said, oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, thank you so much. So I went with my sales rep at the time. His name was Chad Bailey. I think you know Chad.
I do.
And for Bear, works for Bear Archery. And I've got a brand new Bear bow to take out there. And a gentleman by the name Weston Clark was our guide. And so we went out there, and it was about 9,000 feet elevation. So it took a day or two, third day for sure, to be really acclimated to the altitude. And the first couple days, we heard bugling everywhere. And we bugled and we came on to elk, but they were herded up pretty good. They weren't responding to the call. And then one day everything changed. It was, you know, the September 10th or whatever it was, all of a sudden bugles are ripping all around this valley and you're just hearing them surround you. And it's an eerie, crazy, exciting feeling when it's going on. And so we're going to the bugles. We're going, okay, let's go see what's going on. Well, we called one. And we could hear the bugle getting closer. And we hiked up to this spot we called Studio 54, oddly enough, because it was kind of the spot we knew they wanted to hang out, and it was a nice, what they call park, which is basically just a big open meadow on the side of this mountain. So we held up there in the Quakies, as they call them there, basically the aspen trees. And I had the guy that was calling was about 15 yards behind me. And we hear, he rips a bugle, and we hear a bugle call back. And it's coming. So I can see about 300 yards across this park. And I see him break through the trees, and he's coming directly at me. So all I can do is just stand still with my bow in my hand, with my release on loop, ready to draw. And he comes within 10 to 15 yards of me, staring right at me, looking past me at where that bugle is coming from. And now there's also cow calls coming from behind me, too, from that same person. So this bull is staring me through me, drooling on himself, peeing on himself, just bugling in my face. My goosebumps are sticking up my arms right now, just recounting this encounter here. And all of a sudden, I felt a little wind on the back of my neck. So the wind has shifted, and it shifted towards him now. His head goes in the air. He kind of looks around, and he trots off about 15, 20 yards, actually a little bit more than that, about 25 yards, and spins and turns broadside to me. Well, as he's trotting off, I come to full draw. As soon as he turns to look back again, I put an arrow through him. Textbook. Luckily, it was 42 yards when I shot him. Blew through both lungs. He took off about 5-10 yards again, spun around, looked, and then turned to run, and his hind end started failing on him. He started doing the drunk walk and went down right within sight. And I have a video to show the whole thing. We captured the whole moment on video. So to me, that one was just, you couldn't have scripted it any better. It's one of those ones that actually worked out the way you'd hope. And it was just phenomenal.
Wow.
It was just a wonderful, wonderful encounter.
Oh, man. I to be face-to-face with a big, drooling, snot-nosed bull bugling in your face, that's the ultimate right there.
It was, and it still is, and it gave me goosebumps telling the story.
It gave me goosebumps hearing it.
Reliving it again. That's what it's about, though, Mike, isn't it?
It is. You're right. We are in an industry where our job is to sell fun, promote fun. We're selling widgets. We're selling tree stands. We're selling services, products, radio shows, whatever. But yeah, it's that experience that we all crave, that we all love, that we all talk about before, during, and after the experience that stays with us our life. What else can we do in our lives, Bill, that has such an impact on us that we would think about as we're maybe even on our deathbed?
Yeah, and sharing those stories and the relationships built, you know, to that point. The cameraman that was with us that day, only time I've ever met him in my life, and this is in 2011 this happened, we're still friends on Facebook, we still send birthday greetings and stuff. So from that, you know, 4 or 5 days spending together that one time in 2011, we have a lasting friendship that is still to this day, and that's the only time we've ever physically spent time together.
Wow.
So it's one of those cool things, you know. It's remarkable.
Well, you talk about the people.
It's hard to explain. You got to just do it to get it.
Exactly. You talk about the people in the industry. You mentioned Jeff Poet earlier. Of course, Jeff, the president of Jay's. It was his dad, Jay Poet, who started Jay's Sporting Goods. I've known the Poet family for a very, very long time. What a great family. What a great, solid company and mentality it is that you work for there at Jay's.
It is. It is remarkable. And we're into the third generation of people of the Poet family working here, which's remarkable in and of itself to have a family that loves each other, gets along together, and can work together and can do all that and just be a very functional place to be a part of that and to be considered amongst those people closely, it is a pleasure. And it is, you know, I try to do my very best for them every day when I'm here to try to make the right decisions and just do things right and treat people right, because that's the model, that's the culture, that's the environment that has been set. And if you're part of it, you get it.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
I mentioned earlier you're the buyer. What does that mean, Bill? How do you decide what to bring into Jay's? Because it's a big decision. It's an expensive decision. A lot riding on it. There are a ton of products out there, some of them legit, some of them marketing hype. How do you cut through it all?
You just said a mouthful. It's all those things. And you know, I was talking with Chad Stearns the other day, who's our VP of operations, just yesterday, in fact, and I was sharing with him some of the little victories I felt, because we just finished our big buy group show, which is Sports Inc., where I laid a lot of orders out for the year, basically. And there's a sense of accomplishment and relief getting through that period, because that's a stressful time and you're trying to meet deadlines and pick the right stuff at the right time and get the right deal, all those things that you've alluded to. And we're talking about the science of it and the art of it. And there's kind of two different things there. And it's really hard to explain to a degree, but, you know, unfortunately, you have to be your own cheerleader when you're the buyer, because it's always the buyer's fault. You either didn't get enough, you got too many, we have too much left over, it didn't come at the right time, we paid too much for it, you might have ordered it right, but it didn't ship on time, and this product turned out to be a real dog that you thought was going to be good. So all those things weigh into every decision, and you want to put the right stuff on the shelf for the customer, and you want to share your enthusiasm about that product with them. And hopefully they can use that to be successful in accomplishing their dreams and their passions in the outdoors. So it's not a thing I take lightly, even though it sounds simple. I buy deer pee and duck calls and, blinds and tree stands and cameras. But if I put something in our stores that our customers can buy and then turn around and take outside and have that encounter with a big white-tailed deer because of the product they bought from us and they used it correctly, man, that's what a privilege that is.
So how did you make the decision to bring Primal into the stores?
Well, that was actually a pretty easy one. I had known Bob Ransom for a number of years, 25 plus years, as he was with other brands in the past, other Michigan brands that he had built, and were the best in class, if you will, with some of those things. So when Bob was back in those categories with a new line that he launched and pioneered, and with all the knowledge he had and all the experience he had, bringing a quality product back to market, it worked out. I mean, I was interested right from the start. However, you know, he was kind of a one-man show again and really needed big, big orders to make it work. And we weren't in a spot with the selection that we carry, which sometimes it can be overwhelming and maybe even a detriment, but we pride ourselves on having a selection of stuff for our customers. I just couldn't make it fit the first couple years because we were just too diverse in what we had, and I couldn't meet the minimums really that Bob was requiring, essentially. And then Bob is Bob, and he's like, you know, I want to be in Jay's. I'm working with Mike, Bill, for crying out loud. You got it. You know, Mike's your guy. So I felt, and nothing from you, but there was always that pressure, like, man, I know the opportunities here. I know we can kind of go full circle with this thing because Mike's such a passionate user of the product. And Bob, I know, is building a quality product and is a great support mechanism for us standing behind the product. I just have to find the right program that fits. Well, Bob made a program that fit for us. and we took advantage of some deals that he kind of custom made. And in fact, you were up here at our anniversary sale this last year, and we had a smoking deal on some ladders and some blinds, a few real key products. In fact, I think I helped carry one out to your truck that day, if I remember right, Mike.
Yeah, I bought one that day. It was too good of a price to pass up.
I got aggressive because I wanted to shake things up because I was excited we had them. I was excited we were offering them, and I wanted to, at that, especially that event, which is a huge event, the kickoff to the fall for Jays, right, the anniversary sale, weekend after Labor Day every year. I had some strategic items on sale, but I wanted to showcase Primal in the two blinds I had and the one really deep deal on the Mac Daddy ladder, which is one of my favorite ladders. So needless to say, I called you and said, hey, would you come up and help promote this since we got this thing going? And of course, you're like, absolutely. Bob came up. We had some giveaways. Great event. So we just hit the ground running from there. So now we're into year two.
And let's see where this goes.
Well, I've been working on it. I got some pretty good things that Bob and I have been putting together here. So I'm going to be able to shake things up a little bit come the fall.
Oh, it, can we
little talk, teasers?
Talk,
little
I was going to say, can we talk about them yet, or a little bit too early?
I will. I don't know. Yeah. I could give you. I'll give you a little detail. Okay. Maybe later on.
Oh, you're Phil Hahn.
Well, one of them's your favorite blind. Let me just say that.
Is it my favorite or the new version of my favorite?
It's the original favorite.
Oh, okay.
The Wraith 270. I own, let me see. Actually, I have my inventory up here right now in front of me on my computer.
I love that Wraith. I absolutely love it. That has been my go-to blind. The only thing that gets me maybe as excited is word of this new Harvester coming out, which I think takes it even to another level.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have that one in stock yet.
I don't think anybody does yet, Bill.
I don't think so. I don't think that's even quite available yet. But rest assured, yeah, I own a lot of Wraiths right now. I went early and deep because Bob made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I'm going to have a very aggressive price on those. So if you like that blind, and I know you do, because of the features it has, it is a feature-packed blind at a price that you've probably never seen before.
Bill, you talked about quality of product a few minutes ago. Obviously, well, at least I'm convinced that Primal does build quality products. But let me ask you this. In the world that you live, is it the product itself that creates the demand, or is it marketing? Because if you get the right high-paid TV personalities using your product and talking about it, it could be a crap product, and people will still want it.
Oh, you hit it right on the head. I've seen it both ways. I've seen good products command the attention they deserve, and I've also seen marketing make mediocre products sensational products as far as their sell-through and draw. So it if you can find that right combination of good product and good marketing behind it, man, the sky's the limit. But there is that to filter through when you're analyzing stuff out there, because the marketing machine and social media, of course, has really thrown gas on that fire. You get guys out there, I get guys coming in asking for stuff sometimes that we don't carry, that maybe is a direct-to-consumer type product. They don't even offer it to dealers, but they've fueled this so much with hype on social media platforms and paid influencers, if you will, to create a demand for something that the only way they're going to see it is on a video. They can't touch it and feel it and try it on and see, feel how heavy it is, feel the quality of the fabric, feel the durability of it. You're just relying on what somebody's telling you, basically through an infomercial or just from, you know, a paid guy that's meant to hype it up. So we, you know, see value, of course, in spending the money to inventory product to have to show the customer, to put on display for their customer to come in and try it and feel it and talk to somebody about it. I think that's hard to replicate. I think it's few and far between to be able to, you know, promote a product and show a product at that level. It's hard to beat touching and feeling it yourself.
Yeah. Well, again, going back to that Wraith that I love so much, I've used it bear hunting. I've used it deer hunting. I've used it turkey hunting. And I'm excited about this upcoming turkey hunting season. Now, there are a lot of ways to hunt birds. You can run and gun them and stuff. But my way to hunt birds is I love to hunt them with a bow. Either, I don't care if it's a recurve, a compound, or a crossbow. But I will set up in that Wraith or some other primal blind, and I'll wait them out. I mean, I'll call them, I'll put decoys in front of me, and I will just wait them out. It's been very effective for me, and I'm excited about this upcoming turkey hunting season.
I am too, especially this time of year. We get into the beginning of March. In Michigan, we have long winters. We haven't chased critters in a couple months for some of us that don't, you know, that just go from deer hunting to turkey hunting and don't do anything in between. So, yeah, the itch to get out there, the cabin fever's kicked in, and there's nothing like hearing those gobblers in the morning and setting up for them and trying to get them.
What's your setup, Bill? How do you hunt birds?
You know, I appreciate that you're asking. I have tried it a lot of different ways in my 25 plus years of turkey hunting, and I go back to running and gunning. Shooting them in the face with the shotgun is my absolute favorite. I feel, because I hunt some different places. I don't have my own private land to hunt. I have permission to hunt on some different spots, but I don't know where they're always going to be roosting, and some of them are too far to go the night before and try to put them to bed and find where they're at. So I kind of go out that morning and call and listen for them and set up on them that way. What I wanted to share with you, I got to share with a customer the other day in regards to that. You mentioned you like being stationary in your blind, because I'm assuming I know you hunt a couple spots you've hunted for a long time, so you kind of know the land. You kind of know where the turkeys are going to come down off the roost, where they want to go to bug and then to, you know, dust later. And, you know, you know their routine on your areas, don't you, Mike?
Well, ideally and in theory, yes. But you know how birds are.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. And during the course of a season, things change a lot, too. But one thing I was sharing with a customer, and you mentioned decoys. Can I just go down the decoy rabbit hole for a second?
Let's do it.
Okay. I had a customer who was telling me he bought some decoys, and he sits them out in front of him. And he's not the best caller, but he's called some birds in. And these decoys are 15 feet in front of where he's sitting, and the birds hang up on him about 50 yards to, let's say, to the north or to the right from where he's at. And this happened repeatedly to him, and he goes, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. They're seeing the decoys, and they're hanging up. And I said, I have some advice for you, because it's happened to me. Why don't you try, if you know where those birds are coming from, if they're roosting from the right in the morning, you're calling, they come out off the roost, and they come, when they see your decoys, where you have them positioned, and they lock up. In nature, that tom sees that hen over there, and he struts for her, and he wants to call her to himself. Well, you put that decoy in a spot where he sees it, and he's trying to get her to come to him. I said, why don't you try putting that decoy, instead of directly in front of you 15 yards, put it to your left 30 or 40 yards. And that way, when that tom comes and he locks up, he's going to be locking up right in front of you within range versus way out of range over there. And he was, it's like a light bulb turned on when I said that. This was just last week. He is fired up. He goes, I can't wait for turkey season. He goes, I'm going to do that. And I really feel that tactic is going to work for me. I said, I bet it will, because I had to do the same thing one time, and I learned. Every time I go out, I learn something. Normally it's what not to do, but sometimes it's what to do.
Yeah, it's they can be a very humbling bird. I mean, you know, I'll sit out there all morning and I'll hear them gobbling, and I won't see a bird. And as I'm driving home, I have to stop the truck in the middle of the road to let the stupid strutter cross. You know, mm-hmm. They just are, they're so humbling. Let's continue to talk about decoys here for a second. Even though Primal doesn't make decoys, so, but and decoys don't make a hunt. But I was having problems last year, again with birds hanging up. I added one small tweak to my deeks, and I got myself a real high quality, realistic looking semi strut Jake.
Oh, yeah.
The first morning I used that, the longbeards could not resist it. They had to come in and try to beat the snot out of that guy, and one of them got an arrow through him.
Absolutely. That's great. I think you hit it exactly right. You know, birds are among the most aggressive. it never fails. I've shot a nice tom, and I've had two or three other toms that were with him jump on him and spur the heck out of him once he's down.
Mm-hmm.
They just beat the tar out of each other because now we're going to make sure this guy's not competing for the resources that we're going after anymore, you know. But to your point, when that mature gobbler, when that tom sees an inferior Jake making the moves on the hen that he's going after, he's not going to tolerate that because he knows he's the boss tom. He's going to go and put that youngster in his place and kick his butt and get him out of there. So that can certainly be the tool, the trick to get them to close the distance to where you need them to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to turkey season coming up. And then bear season, I'll take my Wraith or Harvester, whatever I'm using at the time, I'll take that up into Canada. I love them. For me, it's a very relaxing but productive way to hunt. I know it's not for everybody, but for me, it works out very well. Going back to Primal overall, Bill Hunt at Jay's Sporting Goods, what's hot? Is it the stands? Is it the ground blinds? What do people want?
I think both are equally hot. They have some pretty cool technology in their ladder stands that really help a guy put a ladder up. And let's face it, you know, you and I, we're not small guys, and we want comfort, and we're not getting any younger either, so we want the comfortable stand that's going to allow us to sit out there longer and be able to, you know, not be in pain or stiffen up or be able to stretch out and not move. So we're everybody's wanting bigger, more comfortable things. Well, that comes with more weight. The bigger they are, the heavier they are, so they're not easy to put up. So I say all that to say, Bob has created a system with the Primal ladders, especially that truss system, and that crank that he has, where you can a guy on his own can put a big, heavy ladder up and install it into a tree fairly easily, you know, without danger of hurting himself or overexerting himself. It's a pretty simple process when you use the design that Bob's created with that. And then again, too, this truss system, which is basically a cable that goes along the back of the ladder, underneath the ladder, with a bar that puts tension across the ladder so it doesn't have that wobble when you're climbing it, let's just say. It really makes it rock solid. So when somebody's afraid of heights, the last thing you want is for it to go up some rickety thing that they're flexing and swaying on. When you install a Primal ladder correctly, they're rock solid, and you have confidence when you're climbing it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan anymore of being up in a tree stand, except for the Primal stands that lock in so solid and so tight. There I have a level of confidence. But even then, Bill, I'm using a safety line.
Of course, yes. Yeah, I recommend that 100%, you know, especially the lifelines where you're connected before you take 1 foot off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. It is not worth it, no matter. Well, I'm in good shape, and God forbid, I can fall, I can jump, whatever. No, that's a foolish thing. We have too much to lose.
All right, Bill. In wrapping this up here, I'm real excited about the fact that Primal and Jay's Sporting Goods and Bob Ransom and Bill Hahn and Mike Avery are working closely together. I think this is a great partnership. I think it's a great relationship. And I would encourage the folks listening here in Michigan to get to one of the Jay's stores and take advantage of the discounts you're talking about. But what about people who are outside of Michigan? They can't make it. Will these deals be available online as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to make all these available on our website, and we really want to promote our website because we do have customers that have visited us from out of state or used to live here and moved away. We want to be able to take care of those customers too and share these things with them. So we definitely want to encourage people to visit our website for anything they're looking for. We will make it available there also.
And that website is jayssportinggoods.com. That's jayssportinggoods.com. By the way, the website for Primal is primaloutdoors.com, primaloutdoors.com. If you go to that website, you can check out all of the products that Primal has to offer. You can also listen to previous Primal podcasts as well, so it's a great resource. Primaloutdoors.com and jayssportinggoods.com. Bill, always a pleasure. I look forward to seeing what more is coming up. Any way I can get involved and help out, you sure be sure to let me know.
I will, Mike. Thank you so much for letting me tell you my stories and listen to me ramble for a half hour. I appreciate that.
I could listen to you for hours, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Bill Hahn of Jay's Sporting Goods on this edition of the Primal Podcast. Again, one more time, jayssportinggoods.com, jayssportinggoods.com. And, of course, Primal Outdoors. Their website is primaloutdoors.com, primaloutdoors.com. And a big thank you to the folks at Primal for making each month's Primal Podcast possible. My name is Mike Avery, and I will look forward to talking with you next time right here on the Primal Podcast.
Think with four of us spread out on a tiny island that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.